The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Raw and Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. Dr. Paul has observed that when the elected government of Ukraine was overthrown in the streets, it was called a triumph of democracy. But when the elected parliament in Crimea voted to hold a referendum on its future, President Obama condemned it as a violation of international law. And then there is the question of the impact of another elective war on a nation, us, the United States, already mired in unpayable levels of debt. We'll talk with Ron Paul about Ukraine. This is part two, right after this.
This is Ron Paul. Thanks to our sponsors for making these podcasts available to you.
Having been through the car buying experience yourself, you'll be so glad to know about a new way to buy a car. TrueCar.com is changing everything. TrueCar.com is the simple, fair, and fun way to buy a car. At TrueCar.com, you know when you'll get a fair price because they show you what others paid for the car you're looking for. And TrueCar users receive negotiation-free, guaranteed savings. The TrueCar process, three simple steps to guaranteed savings. First, you go to TrueCar.com and find out what others paid for the same vehicle in your market and around the country. Second, register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings certificate. And then the third step is so simple. Just print out your certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free buying experience. TrueCar.com has the most comprehensive new car pricing information available and a certified network of dealers that offer a hassle-free car buying experience and negotiation-free guaranteed savings. It's so simple. It's really hassle-free. Just go to TrueCar.com. TrueCar. TrueCar.com.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, the weekly podcast.
Dr. Paul, in a CBS 60 Minutes piece just last week, the correspondent asked one of Ukraine's oligarchs about funding for the movement that overthrew the elected government in Kiev, but she couldn't bother to ask and didn't bother to report a single word on the hand of the United States in the affair. But Russia claims that the United States was spending $20 million a week on Ukrainian opposition groups.
There's no doubt about it. We've been involved for a long time. Not only is it continuing spending money right now on a weekly basis, but it's been reported. As a matter of fact, Victoria Nuland, Undersecretary of State, admitted that we've already spent $5 billion with these government organizations, you know, NGOs. And so we've been very much involved. They've been recorded as talking, Nuland and the ambassador, over what kind of government we're going to put in place when they overthrow the current government. The only way this can be described is pure hypocrisy. You know, they play this game. And the sad part is the gullibility of the people. How about the Congress? You know, this is all a bunch of lies and innuendos and distortions. And yet the Congress comes up and says, oh, yeah, there's a problem over there and we got to be on the side of righteousness. So they rush through legislation. No debate on this. You know, they can debate Obamacare, but giving away billions of dollars to Ukraine. No debate. So they quickly passed, legislation. Only 23 members of Congress on the House voted against this. So to me, it's a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of naivety on the parts of so many. It's so sad that people do go along with this. But, you know, it's a real mess over there. Debt is a big problem. The country's bankrupt. I think that's what's motivating this whole thing. That is, somebody's going to bail them out. And how do we get the bankers up on top of the list? If it's American bailout, we're going to put the bankers up on top of the list. I think a lot of that is what's going on. But then there are the perpetual warmongers who they don't believe that their only goal is to take care of their banker friends. It's also to serve the interests of the military-industrial complex and make sure that the military approach is not forgotten. So the former president, Dick Cheney, the former vice president, Dick Cheney, he says we should have a military option, and he's joined in the chorus with McCain and Lindsey Graham. They're all for the military option. They say, oh, no, we're not going to have boots on the ground. we'll just bomb them from the air and do these things and put punishing sanctions on them, which is all, you know, not only immoral, it's illegal, but they've already started that. And even the people in Congress that I work with from the left who are generally against the war, they always went with sanctions. They always thought that was an easy option out. No, I don't like this war business. We shouldn't be doing this. Let's avoid the war. But as soon as somebody offers up sanctions, yeah, this is a good compromise. This is safe. So they go along with these sanctions. But it is a real tragic mess. Not only have we been involved, financially, and we had a lot to do with the overthrow of the government, it looks like we probably have troops over there. Oh, no, not American troops with uniforms on, but the reports now are at least 300 Blackwater individuals are in Ukraine parading around. And, you know, Blackwater goes wherever they can make a buck, whether it's Iraq or whether it's Afghanistan or whether it's Louisiana during a hurricane. They tend to be able to capitalize on all this. So there are mercenaries right now. But, it is a little bit complex, but I think the media really distorts things. And there is a problem. We might be able to make some suggestions, but the one thing we do have authority over as people, as American citizens, and our government should have the responsibility of minding our own business. You know, if we just stayed out of there, we'd be better off. Does that solve all their problems? No, that wouldn't solve the problem, but at least it would make it less complicated. But of course, if we had followed that all along, there probably wouldn't even be a problem because there wouldn't have been this overthrow. Then to turn it around and say that, they have an overthrow of a government and they call this legal, and then they preach the gospel of democracy. And then when they want to vote on something and have the right of self-determination, which is embedded in a moral principle as well as international law, oh, no, they're breaking international law. What if they really enforced international law? Evenly and equitably and strongly with all countries of the world, I think we'd be in a mess. When you look at what has happened, how we have operated within the international system of law in these last 15 to 20 years, we've been involved in breaking that law probably more times than any other government. And that to me is rather sad.
Well, it is astonishing to me how aghast the governing classes and their lapdogs in the press are at the thought that Crimea may break away, that countries may break up. The Soviet Union broke into 15 separate nations, and that wasn't a tragedy. Czechoslovakia broke into two countries. Yugoslavia yielded Bosnia and Serbia. These sorts of things happened throughout history all of the time, and nobody was aghast when those happened.
Yeah, and there was another example when 13 colonies decided to break away from the British Empire, and that wasn't such a bad idea either. And generally speaking, it worked out, pretty well. And that was the will of the people. That couldn't have happened if the people weren't willing to do that. So it's pure hypocrisy. And my argument is that we should always argue for the right of self-determination and the smallest unit of government possible. So therefore, you could make the case for a mess like you have in Ukraine, that if we had the Europeans out of it, if you had the Americans out of it, and you had the Russians out of it, maybe they'd have more referendums. And maybe the Western Bloc would say, hey, let's have a little alliance, with the Europeans and the Eastern Bloc. Well, let's do with the Russians, and let's have an independent Crimea, and that probably would work out pretty well if the warmongers and the authoritarians, outsiders, didn't come in and try to take over. That certainly could have been a solution for Iraq. The country of Iraq is an artificial country that came out of World War I. So there was an imbalance. The only way they could hold it together was with an authoritarian like Saddam Hussein, which we supported for many, many years. So this principle is a great one, and people pay lip service to it. But then when it turns around and they have an election and we don't like it, then we yell and scream that, oh, they're breaking international law. They're not allowed to have an election. But I think our goal, on those of us who would like to get the truth out, have to try to get this message to the American people. And this, of course, is why whistleblowers are so valuable to us. And And yet those individuals, like at Edward Snowden, they come forth and they tell us what's really going on. Oh, no, those who are in charge, they want secrecy. They don't want to know the truth, whether it's foreign policy or monetary policy. So therefore, the whistleblower becomes the enemy. He becomes the traitor, and he's the one that needs to be executed for not being loyal to the American government, even though those individuals trying to seek out the truth are really the ones that are obeying the law.
When we continue, Ron Paul, the weekly podcast, I would like to pursue the line of inquiry about the United States threatening to get involved in everything, everywhere, as a concluding thought. That's next.
I'm Ron Paul. I'd like to thank our sponsors. Their support makes these conversations possible.
With Washington spending more, always more, you won't be surprised to hear that the IRS is under a strict mandate this year to collect. If you owe back taxes, listen carefully, because their army of agents is ruthless. They can levy your bank accounts, garnish your wages, and even take your home or business. This is serious, but I have a good solution. Call the people who can help you, Optima Tax Relief, and they'll get to work pronto to protect you from aggressive IRS collection actions. Be sure to ask about their Fresh Start initiative when you call. This is a limited-time program and one of the biggest breaks the IRS has offered in ages. You could qualify for a settlement that is much less than before these changes. Nobody knows these tax relief programs like the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Get some help so you can get on with your life. One quick call is all it takes to get started on resolving your tax debt. Optima Tax Relief is fully accredited by the BBB and offers a one-of-a-kind money-back guarantee. Don't wait until it's too late. Call Optima now for your free consultation. Call 1-800-351-8385. 1-800-351-8385. 1-800-351-8385.
Ron Paul. Ron Paul. This is Ron Paul, the weekly podcast.
Dr. Paul, it reminds me of Murray Rothbard, who talked about the United States threatening to get involved in everything, everywhere, saying every crummy little interstate conflict anywhere in the world becomes escalated and maximized into a worldwide global conflict. With this kind of policy, it means that no dispute anywhere, no matter how trivial it may be, is ever kept trivial or kept isolated to the parties of the dispute.
Unfortunately, that philosophy was alive and well when Murray was around, and it's still there. As a matter of fact, I think it's getting worse, not because we're going to be and are currently sending more tanks and troops around the world, but now we have this drone mentality. Oh, we don't have to put the troops on the ground. So we're going to target the bad guys, and we'll assassinate people, even American citizens. But then we remain in the driver's seat when it comes to financial matters. So even though we still are the military power of the world, we are the economic power of the world, and we have the strongest currency because everybody depends on it, which is not going to last forever. But today, because we put most of the money into the United Nations and the IMF, and we have a lot of pressure, and we can control the international banking system, right now they're targeting individuals who didn't please this in the Ukrainian issue. So what are they doing? They're targeting these people to take their money from their bank accounts, which is, you know, conviction without even charges, no international law at all. So, yes, we're going to be involved in every place all the time. It's going to be different. I think the battles are going to be a little different. There's going to be less tanks rolling across lines. And so far, this is sort of what's happening in Ukraine. There's not a whole lot of people shooting and killing each other, but it's really up for grabs. That doesn't mean that you don't still have the violence. It's just that we will expand our presence around the world because we have this economic power that we can wield. But that will all change when the people of the world reject the dollar. One thing that I think is coming out of this crisis in Ukraine is the fact that all of a sudden Russia and China are talking with each other more so than they have in many, many years. And they've also included India in the discussions. So they hold a lot of our debt, and they may tolerate a little bit of pushing around. And there are some economic interactions between these countries because we trade a lot with China, and the Europeans and Russia have things at stake with the use of natural gas. Eventually, though, they have the authority, the power to do something to our dollar. So far, I don't think it's happening deliberately, but it certainly is hinting that they're buying less dollars. And I think that's where the real breaking point is, because all they have to do, they don't have to overnight dump every dollar. All they have to do is nudge up the interest rates. Then all of a sudden, our numbers are catastrophic on how we're going to take care of our own debt. And we'll be in the same situation as Greece has been in, the same situation as Ukraine. And then who's going to bail us out? There's nobody left. We'll be the last one standing. And that's when you're going to see a worldwide chaos economically. And who knows what will happen politically.
Well, we are really squaring the circle by thrusting age-old antagonists into one another's arms in this almost right. unforeseeable manner. Dr. Paul, thank you for another great conversation, another great podcast. It's Ron Paul, the Weekly Podcast, and I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.